Welcome to We the People. Brain drain. This is a cliche that we've been hearing for years, and like many cliches, it has an ominous ring of truth to it. Why is it that India loses some of its best minds to other countries? Why are we not able to keep the best and the brightest at home? This is a debate that has been revisited after a controversial announcement by the Health Minister Ghulam Nabi Azad, who has suggested that doctors who are seeking to work or study in the United States of America will now not get a no objection certificate from the government unless they commit themselves to coming back to India and working here for a stipulated period of time. It's been suggested even by parliamentary panels in the past that there should be an exit tax imposed on those who have studied in some of our finest institutions, for example, the IITs, the IIMs, the All India Medical Institute, and so on, the argument being that these are people who have studied at subsidized rates, so there should be some method of making them give back. On We the People today, we ask whether giving back is something that can and should be enforced by law. Let me start with Dr. Ajay Bakshi. You're, of course, the CEO of Max Healthcare, Dr. Bakshi. But like many other people, I mean, All India Medical Institute is really a kind of rites of passage, or the big daddy of all medical institutes in India. And right. Most doctors in the private sector today have gone through the portals of an institute like AIMS or other institutes that are subsidized, people like to say, by the taxpayers' money. How do you respond to this proposal by the health ministry? Do you think it has any merit in it?
Just to frame the debate, we're talking about a 2% problem. So just to give you some numbers, yeah. There are 40,000 doctors qualify in India from MBBS every year. And as per the ministry statistics, around 1,000 of them leave the country every year. And we don't know how many come back. So just for the sake of this discussion, 1,000 out of 40,000 is approximately 2.5%. So even if we fix it 100%, we are not going to fix the main core issue, which is shortage of doctors.
So you're saying there's a disproportionate attention on this. It's got nothing to do with healthcare and the lacunae in the healthcare.
Exactly. The main issue here is that we have desperate shortage of doctors and nurses because we haven't trained enough of them. And just by stopping them from going outside, it's not going to fix the problem.
But Dr. Bakshi, 3,000 doctors have gone outside India in the last 3 years. And at last count, there are 6 doctors per 10,000 people in this country. And that makes our numbers much worse than a country like Cuba,
sure.
Which has more than 50 for the same population. So is it? Are you being a little bit of a sophist here by saying that this is just a very minuscule problem?
Just look at the number. For each medical college, there are at least 100 candidates wanting to get in, not able to get in. So there are enough students, enough kids who want to be doctors, but we can't train them.
But can I quickly ask you, it's one thing to say this problem doesn't affect many. It's another thing to say you agree or disagree with the proposal. Do you agree or disagree with the proposal?
Depends on which hat you're wearing.
Which hat are you wearing?
It depends. I'm a citizen of the country. Yeah. I'm a doctor. I'm also a patient. So it depends on which hat you're wearing.
So wear any one of those hats and tell me whether you agree or disagree.
The only hat to wear is that this rule is fine if it is applied to everybody and you will accept it, whether you are a bureaucrat or a minister or a patient.
Why single out doctors is what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
All right. So that's an interesting point. Let me take that to Meenakshi Datta Ghosh. You've served as a bureaucrat in the health ministry, but you're also on the Planning Commission's Committee on Health. The argument you're hearing here is it's a bit socialist and old-fashioned to say these guys who studied at AIMS, they must give back, or studied at other institutes where education was subsidized, must give back. But everybody else, you can sit in your fat cat corporate jobs, not ever step in to a village, not ever do an ounce of community service. Is it a distorted debate?
For a long time, the Ministry of Health had the attitude that, look, roughly 20,000 doctors graduate each year, and if 600 of them go abroad, so what? Today, because we have more information, so we know the extent of shortages at the primary healthcare level, at the secondary healthcare level, and it's not only doctors, it is doctors, nurses, laboratory technicians, pharmacists,
The problem is actually serious. And there was a complacent attitude before.
Yes. That is one issue. However, it's not very clear that the problem is going to be fixed by putting a cap on those going, emigrating or, calling them back.
Yeah.
I would like to say upfront, I see this as a governance issue. At the time of independence, we had some 19 medical colleges. Hmm. Today, we have 270. The high-level expert group report led by Dr. Srinath Reddy, which the steering committee in the Planning Commission has adopted, has recommended an additional 187 medical colleges across backward states.
So can I hold you there?
Which will give us 30,000 more medical graduates. I just want to say that.
Yeah. So you've said a couple of different things. But Chetan Bhagat, isn't there a more philosophical point at the heart of this debate? And that is really whether, as I said in the beginning, giving back is something that you can enforce. And to which Dr. Bakshi has an interesting rejoinder that why is it only about doctors? So is it just a very strange and distorted focus? And I'm asking you this because you're an IIT and an IIM product, and this argument is also brought to your institutions.
Yeah, I think I'm not a healthcare expert, so I think
About healthcare, but should there be a giving back? There's an exit tax, for example, that's often been proposed for the alumni of the IIT and the IIMs.
Yeah, I don't know I think there's a point to be made that why should this education be subsidized? I think that's fair enough point, and that is also for people who stay back in India. I mean, if I'm from an IIM and I'm selling cigarettes for ITC in Calcutta, how am I giving back? You know, when Shashi Tharoor was abroad and, you know, in the United Nations, was he not giving back? And somebody who, a girl who works in Lakme here and, you know, I don't see the point why she should get a subsidized education to help an MNC sell her goods. So maybe that subsidized education needs to go anyway. And this tax and all that is far more difficult to enforce. You just set the fee structure so that the state doesn't make losses. But then you can't, I think, hinder individual mobility. I mean, you just can't do that. There's something about liberty, you know, which is far more fundamental to the human race.
You're
liberty
saying that instead
control.
Of saying because you had a subsidized education, here's how you have to give back, just do away with the subsidies on the IITs,
I mean,
I don't
see the point why you are training, you know, why should it be subsidized? What is now the business schools abroad are subsidized. They can be scholarships, they can be need-based things and all those things. And the state definitely doesn't subsidize education. We have a more British model where everything is subsidized. And then we see that it's not really giving us the return. And then we say, let's put a tax on them, let's control their movement.
Yeah.
It's not going to be enforced.
So invasion of individual liberty, better to do away with the subsidies on higher education. Alok Rai, you've taught at IIT Delhi. I think what you see common to this entire debate, whether it's the IITs or the IIMs or indeed the doctors, is payback. Give back to your country.
I hear a kind of anti-subsidy argument which circulates in this country. I don't personally see the point of it, because it seems to me that subsidy, which is to say redirecting social resources, is the preeminent domain of government. I mean, that is what governments do. So there's no problem, as far as I can see, with subsidy.
But once the state is given the subsidy, does the state have the right to demand something back?
I would imagine that it shouldn't be framed as a liberty issue. I think people should be free to move. But obviously, they work within a network of obligations. Mm. And that network of obligations requires some things to be done.
It's as those moral obligations or those legal obligations?
I think they are certainly moral, and they should be legal as well. But I mean, the reason why I suppose they cannot be made legal is that, in some sense, the anti-subsidy argument is made by frequently the same people as the ones who emigrate.
So you support the subsidy and the obligation to give back.
I would say that. And I would say that now, and if I may take just a minute, I would imagine that one way of framing the problem actually is not if indeed Minister Azad suggests that the medical problem in India, healthcare problem, is going to be solved by keeping 2,000 doctors back. It is ridiculous. Obviously not. But I think there's a symbolic thing that, you know, this kind of secessionist citizenship of this country has to stop.
But I think Chetan Bhagat raises an important question when he says that, is that secessionistic citizenship confined to those who emigrate? You can live here and completely secede from your own commitments.
You become a plastic surgeon and you're doing, you know, fake breast jobs or whatever. I mean, how
Silicone
is that giving
implants.
Back to... Yeah, I think doctors do that, right? Some of them. So I'm saying, and it's very lucrative, I think, especially the town I come from. And you know, how is he giving back?
It's an important question. I want to take it to Rahul Ram. Rahul Ram, you go to an IIT and you end up in a music band with some other adventures along the way. Now, could a taxpayer say to you, hey, you wasted my money. You had an education from my money. And you never became a scientist or someone who went and worked in any of those things. You became Indian Ocean.
You should sing for the government.
Once again, before I've got to get a shock there. You're saying, ironically, of course, that his payback could be he should sing for the government.
Perhaps, you know. Diplomatic sort of banquets or something.
In Parliament.
In Parliament. Okay. That would certainly make parliamentary proceedings a little more of music to our ears. But Rahul, more seriously.
Yeah, if I had been asked, when I left IIT, ki tu paise de, nahi to tu bahar nahi ja sakta. Main ja hi nahi sakta. To tell you the truth, at that time, if we had been asked to pay a lot of fees, say do away with subsidy, pay a high fees, I wouldn't have been able to afford it. And so I'm saying that it's very easy to say ki laga do in pe, subsidy hatao, paise do. But you have graduated from St. Stephen's College, you paid what? Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So DU should also then take a huge amount of fees. That means poor people will never get good education in this country. So, matlab gareeb aadmi kabhi ghus hi nahi payega. Nahi ji, need based scholarship denge. Kitne need based scholarship doge? Usme kitni corruption? Matlab, it's a very complicated issue to get into. Ki if subsidies are not just IITs and IIMs.
But do you accept Alok's argument that he supports the subsidy for exactly the reasons you're saying, but he says that you've got to give back something?
Dekho, moral obligation is one thing. I don't think it is possible or even desirable to make it legal because the number of loopholes. You know, I cannot see big politicians' kids adhering to that. I can see poor people being forced to adhere to that.
But Raghav, what you're saying? You're saying that, you know, poor people won't be able to get a good education. So we'll give you. But once we give you, then you are our slave.
No, I'm not
but
saying that at all.
That's what, you know, it's too much of a control happening.
Okay, I've got Devi Shetty waiting and Ashok also, but Alok, I'll allow you a quick rebuttal there.
No, it's
because you're pro-subsidy and pro-giving back.
Pro-giving back, it's a sort of, it's not in some sense, it's not a quid pro quo.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I mean, all of us are aware that a very dangerous kind of divides are opening up in this country. I mean, it's a big idea, but something like national service, where everybody spends some time,
so
no matter where you are.
So mandatory national service across professions.
Across professions. We all belong in one country, but the way we live, we could be living on Mars.
Now that's interesting, Ashok Malik, because can patriotism be coded? I'll give you an example. In Maharashtra, for example, there is mandatory rural service. What people do is they just pay the fee and they get out of it. And at last count, the Maharashtra government had earned 34 crore rupees just by the fees paid. And I'm curious to know where the 34 crore rupees actually went. Did it go into primary care health centers?
No, nobody knows.
But Alok, interesting point. Takes the point, don't focus only on doctors, says make national, sort of national service mandatory.
You know, it sounds a good idea. But I'm a little uncomfortable with something that is enforced by the government and saying you have to do this. And which is why I'm a little sort of concerned about Alok's sort of maximalist approach. I do agree that some subsidies are needed. But I went to college, I paid 16 rupees a month. I could have paid 10 times that amount.
Yeah.
But there were people in my class who could not have. I acknowledge that. Perhaps a more targeted system of subsidies, because after all, even scholarships are a form of subsidy. Certainly we should have that. And I'm not calling for everyone to pay market rates, but we should certainly look at this system of funding of higher education. And the other thing is, I'm extremely uncomfortable with the idea that if you leave this country, you don't do anything for the country. Mm. Frankly, if someone pays taxes, he's doing enough for this country. He's doing a lot for this country. Mm. And the subsidies are funded not by the UPA government or the NDA government's private money, it's funded by taxpayer money.
So you're saying just the fact of going outside your country doesn't mean that you're not giving
back. Or even working for Lakme or ITC. As long as you're paying taxes, you're paying your higher education, you're doing something.
So that's for Chetan, because the ITC and the Lakme employees also contributing to the economy, paying taxes if he or she is. Dr. Devi Shetty, we've had a range of debates here from everybody, irrespective of profession, should commit themselves to some form of national service to say, look, you're actually interfering with individual liberty here, because there's something a little Stalinist about the state determining what is enough citizenship or who is a good citizen.
Barka, all of you have missed the point. The point is why this many doctors went to US recently when the health ministry wanted to stop them. All of them, without an exception, went to US for training. Today, no Indian doctor wants to go to US or Europe for earning better living. In our country, About 37,000 doctors get trained every year, but hardly 10,000 of them get into postgraduate training program. Today, an MBBS doctor feels that he is worthless. He has to become a specialist. So essentially, the problem is people don't want to die as general practitioner. They want to become specialist. Now, why they can't become specialist? Because we have a shortage of PG seats. Because we have a shortage, every PG seat can be auctioned for 1 crore to 2 crore rupees. We are short of 500 medical colleges. Today, if we start 100 new medical colleges every year, by 2025, you will have adequate number of medical colleges.
Dr. Shetty, let me just interject there to say that your point is absolutely taken on the fact that it's for training that people seek to go abroad. But the debate is also that suppose they wanted to go and work somewhere else because they earned more. Would that be so wrong? Now, I have here Colonel Rakesh Verma with me. You have jointly co-authored a study that looked at how much it costs to actually educate somebody at the All India Medical Institute. Yes. And what were your broad findings, Colonel?
As you know, the costing has to be seen in different perspectives. So there are different models of costing. So in the activity-based costing, it comes to about 98 lakhs per student for 5.5 years of training. And in the other model where you are actually figuring out how much resource has been pumped in, it comes to about 1.72 crores.
1.72 crores. All right. This is an important point because this is where Achetan Bhagat or an Ashok, I imagine, would step in and say, look, the subsidy then becomes a question mark for the state's entitlement to demand more. Not everybody who studies in All India Medical Institute, of course, takes the route to private practice. I have Dr. Raman Kataria, who works with the Jan Swasthya Sahyog in Chhattisgarh. And Dr. Kataria, you took a very different route. Now, do you feel in some ways as you work in the interior villages of India, a little bit morally judgmental of good doctors sitting to my right? Do you believe they sold their souls?
Ajay is a close friend.
Okay. are you batchmate from me?
We played hockey together.
Right? Yes.
You played hockey together. That all is forgiven. But okay.
But again, one is that I have my reservations about the word bond.
Yes.
Because it has different connotations. It's basically a social obligation, as others have mentioned. And I think it's different for the healthcare as compared to, you know, the engineering sector or the goods industry or other education. So healthcare is a different, it has a humanitarian angle to it. It's a different subject. And there is a social obligation which one has to fulfill, which is not only in terms of the amount of money which the government has spent on the education, which Colonel Verma has highlighted, but it's also about, you know, the people from whom we have learned, our patients from whom we have learned. You know, we have an obligation to them.
So do you feel it should be a legal obligation? Do you feel that, I think that's where the debate is. Like, obviously, all of us will say we want to give back to our people, to our communities, to our institutions, but that could end up being platitudinous in a sense. We all think we give back.
Yeah, but it's not only about platitude. You know, they have given their bodies, for students to learn. So their living bodies for students to learn as patients. So that's how we have learned medicine.
So you'd agree with Alok Rai, who says that everybody should commit themselves by law to maybe a year or two
yes,
of national service?
Definitely, but it's with a proviso that, you know, this external brain drain, which we are talking about right now, should not translate into an internal brain drain, mm-hmm. which means the skew which Madam has talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
And this skew between urban and rural India, I would choose to speak for the other India, which I represent.
Okay, but Chetan, let me start with you. The argument being here, listen, when the subsidy is this high and you've got very strong voices saying that subsidy needs to be in place, the state is entitled not just from doctors but from all of us.
See, Barkha, take a place like AFMC, right? They also have an army and people who join know either you, and if you want to exit, you pay them. It's quite a high number.
Yeah.
So either the student pays if he's from an affluent background or he takes a loan. Or he commits to a certain years of service, whichever way government wants him to pay
so
back.
So you're saying as long as the subsidy is there, there has to be a payback. Ashok, would you agree
the
with that?
But then the three options are there. Right?
Ashok, would you agree with that?
If you come into a medical college or any other college with the proviso that, look, for 1 year, you have to serve in a rural area, which many medical colleges
But I'm saying
people just pay
the fee and they get past that.
Well, if that loophole is there, it's there. But frankly, I would like doctors to go for a 6 months or to a year. But let me tell you one thing. a junior doctor going to 6 months to a rural center will not solve rural India's medical problems. Yeah. Six months he goes there and comes back, it doesn't solve anything.
Dr. Shetty, would you agree with a legally enforced payback, or would you make the argument, as some of our panelists are making, do away with the subsidy?
First of all, no, Barka, you don't need to spend 1 crore rupees to train a doctor. Today, why it is 1 crore rupees? Because we have a law which was made 50 years ago that a medical college should have 25 acres of land, it should have centrally air-conditioned auditorium, centrally air-conditioned classrooms. No other country has this law. You change the law, you can build a medical college with hardly 5-10 crore rupees. Then the medical education cost will come down to next to nothing.
Okay, Rahul Ram, you said that if you had been asked to pay before you went outside, you wouldn't have been able to do so. Many of us are also pre-liberalization or cusp of liberalization children. Today, most people could. Do you agree with...
Most people could of your class. Most people who are not educated like you or me cannot still afford to pay.
But Ashok is saying have the subsidy only for those who can't pay.
Yeah, what the same thing, na? Ki those same who can't, matlab, how will you decide? Wohi BPL card. Ye hoga.
Ashok, how will you decide? Before I get Ashutosh Gupta, how will you decide?
Look, that is a governance issue as to use, you know, yeah. You have to devise... I can't think of something off the top of my head sitting in this room. I mean... Mr. Azhar should think of something.
Okay, Mr. Azhar should be thinking of that, you think, more than
the one more point I'd like to make. In the past year, two friends of mine, both Indians, have got married to doctors from America. They both wanted to come to India to practice. Okay, and they were both willing to do some pro bono work and some sort of full paying work. They went through rounds of bureaucracy in Delhi trying to get qualified to practice in India.
Yeah.
They found the experience horrific and they both ran away. So Mr. Azhar should look at that as well.
Okay, I've got, before I get another IIT alumnus here, I've got Arpit here, who's this year's IITG, the entrance exam topper. Mm-hmm. So big round of applause there. And Arpit, you're hearing this whole debate, right? First, can I ask you why you wanted to study at an IIT?
I get the best people out there.
Brightest company?
Brightest company, yeah.
But do you have a girlfriend?
Sorry.
Not yet.
Chetri, you got to repeat the question.
I said, do you have a girlfriend?
Not yet.
Okay. At IIT, I hope you
do. Before you go to IIT.
What did you say?
I said, please get one now. Focus on that.
Okay.
One, like rank one is a bit too much, you know.
Rank one's a bit too much?
No, don't tell it to any girl.
Okay. No, you can tell it to me and I'm impressed. Now here's my question. Do you think that you come from a background where if the IIT is charged more, you could have afforded to pay it?
I could. I mean, I could get loans at least. Somehow I could have paid.
So do you think there should be an exit tax? There should be some rule that says ki IIT pass karke itne saal pehle India mein kaam kar.
The situation is different for engineers and for doctors. We have a shortage of doctors. But for engineers, we have a shortage of good engineers. Hmm. Not for engineers. So, I mean, we must first of all...
It's the same with doctors too.
The fact is, we must first look at how you are giving back. As sir said that, if you're outside the country, you can still pay in terms of money. So, if you... the law will only make you give back in terms of service. You are still giving in terms of money. So, I guess the law is useless in terms of engineers.
Okay, that distinction there between engineers and doctors, we'll hear more from Arpit in just a minute. But Ashutosh Gupta, you did a survey that actually found that contrary to what people think, a lot of guys and girls want to come back.
Yep. So there are two aspects. So if you looked at people who graduated in the early 90s, at least in IITs, at least 60-70% of them aspire to go to the US. That number has come down to about less than 10% already. And second,
but is the reason they want to come back because the economy is better in India than it is on Wall Street today?
They don't even want to go. And the ones who are already there, so many of them are coming back because there are so many opportunities. So I think the time for this debate is already gone.
No, here's the question, and here's why the time for debate hasn't gone. You're saying opportunities bring back people. Mm-hmm. The question we're raising is, can you enforce a sense of giving back as a citizen? Mm-hmm. They're not coming back because they love their country. They're coming back because the economy, they think, they might change their mind given how the year we're having, they think the economy is better here. We'll take a quick break. We're taking your questions. Do you codify duty? Taking your questions after the break. we all like to say we're good citizens. We all like to say we give back to our country. But do we really? Let's take questions now from the audience.
Since we've digressed beyond medicine, we're talking about IITs and IIMs and even DU colleges like Stephens and SRCC. How many people are actually going to get into an SRCC or an IIT? Like, not everyone is as bright as Arpit over here. So someone who's a 92% or 93% is also smart, but he does not get into an A-list.
What do you do?
I'm doing law.
And you're planning to stick on in India?
Eventually, yes, but I want to go and study higher, like study abroad for at least a certain amount of years.
Now, many of the people in this room actually, and many have come back, have studied abroad. Rahul Ram, what made you come back?
Tikki.
Tikki toh ab har ek jagah milti hai.
Haan, America mein achi tikki nahi milti.
No, seriously.
I always thought I'd be a second class citizen there, no matter what. I just wanted to come back.
Dr. Bakshi, what made you come back?
It's just a very exciting place to be. Wherever you go in the world, Indians are there and they're always saying, what can we do to go back? So this notion of being here to give back is a very false one. I agree with what Chetan is saying. You can be sitting in New York and be in World Bank and doing greater service to India than being in Delhi and doing nothing for India. So,
Dr. Kataria, would you agree with that? Because you're hearing here people saying that people want to come back, but that's where the action is. But in Bilaspur, in Chhattisgarh, the definition of that's where the action is rather different, right?
So we are actually talking about two different Indias, and I'm representing Bharat. When we say that, you know, there is a skew, and this skew is much more, as has been pointed out, for specialists. The Bilaspur district population is 26 lakhs, whereas the population of rural Bilaspur is 23 lakhs out of this. Yeah. And rural Bilaspur has hardly any specialists. There are no specialists at all. And so this internal brain drain, where it is, where all the doctors and all the specialists are going only towards the big cities, only to the big hospitals.
That's the more important.
That's the more important point.
Can I just ask you, Ashok, and then to Chetan, that is there a sense of guilt that you're sensing here? Because, you know, there is that whole that Bharat-India divide. We represent, as I said, privilege. And is this a guilt thing that we're hearing around the table?
See, talking specifically of public health and in rural India, I have traveled in rural India, as have you. And frankly, I can't think of a solution. I've spoken to young doctors there who said that, you know, we are fine for the first 2 years. Then we get married and we have kids and we want a good school for them and we want to get to a big city.
Yeah.
And what is the solution to that? I don't know.
But then, Chetan, when you say that somebody in ITC or somebody in LACME is not contributing, isn't that also a very old way?
No, I didn't say that.
Of looking what the definition of contribution is.
I say as much as otherwise. See, I'll tell you one thing. It's wonderful to talk these moral things and these bonds. But if you make medical education, like leave the incentives for a child to join, because isme, if the kid starts saying, bahut magaj mari hai yaar doctory mein, I'll become an engineer, I'll become a lawyer. It's going to happen like that. So please be practical in your, you know, morality. Second is, I see some logic. There should be subsidy, but we need to triple the number of doctors every year. So now 120,000, you need 80,000 crores more of subsidy. Who is going to pay that? Already the number of students taking the medical exam has dropped dramatically because people don't find medicine that lucrative a profession in the class of kids which we are talking, the really good, bright kids. So you're not going to have the brightest kids becoming doctors.
Alok, are we being holier than thou? And are we in the process discouraging people from stepping into medicine as a profession?
I'm not aware of discouraging people, because what I hear is that people are paying vast sums of money to go into colleges which are barely giving an education.
Okay, really can I just take a couple of questions and I'll come back to you. Yes.
What about going abroad for research? For example, I'm doing physics in IIT, and I would like to go abroad for research because of the fact that maybe this country does not have adequate research services.
Meenakshi, do you want to take that? Siddharth Mukherjee, who is somebody I grew up with in Delhi, is today, you know, author of Emperor of Maladies, one of the foremost commentators on cancer in the world. He may make the argument that I did my St. Columbus, I did all of that, but, you know, I needed to go there to become this mind.
Yeah.
Are we in denial about that?
No, we are. I mean, in denial, and also the fact that, when I talked of governance issues right in the beginning, these are aspects which have not been addressed. When doctors were emigrating, when physicists like, you know, our friend here, need even in 2012, 2014 to talk about having to go abroad on a need-based basis. I mean,
so that's what I'm saying.
So there is a governance issue.
But therefore, can we get moralistic about it? Can I just take another question here and I'll come back to you?
Is the government ensuring enough employment opportunities once the people who go back would actually come back?
Anyone wants to take that?
We have just opened a hospital in Bhatinda, which is probably as Bharat as Bilaspur. we can't find a medical oncologist for the last 6 months. The reason is there are only 30 medical oncology training seats in India. This is emphasizing the point that Dr. Devi Shetty was making, that there are people like me who are wanting to employ. Where is the supply? Where is the medical college? Where is the PG seat? Where is the facility? Because we are in this subsidy mindset, we don't have 120,000 crores. Let somebody build the college, monitor the quality. The problem is, we think that if you're paying for education, it's dirty. That's not the case.
Let Alok take that before I go to Dr. Shetty. And we also have Dr. Binayak Sen, who spoke to us earlier. Alok Rai, we're getting trapped again and again in the subsidy debate. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's fair to say that many of us, I mean, Rahul's been associated with Narmada Bachao. Many of us in our work have gone into villages. Other than Dr. Kataria here today, none of us have actually committed ourselves to that life. So why do we expect doctors to do it? Why don't you and I do it?
Well, I mean, as you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, even to think about, you know, spending 6 months or a year in terms of what good one is doing to them, I think is faulty. I think it's probably good doing good to ourselves.
So you say we're being patronizing?
I think we're being patronizing. Yeah. I think the process that I would wish to encourage is one where people are encouraged to go to Bharat.
And you're saying that will only happen if it's mandatory?
Alas, if it takes government to do it, what do we have a government for?
You cannot force people to do what they want to do. People want a good life for themselves, and that's how people
encourage,
are.
Incentivize,
and that's how
don't force.
Our society is,
no,
any society. Make the incentives right, and it'll happen.
So
we are talking about science education, and we are not using our minds in a scientific
manner. So it has
manner.
To be material incentives.
So, you know,
I have a larger point.
Yes.
To Bilaspur, there is a reason ITC is already there, Airtel is already there. There's a reason why health infrastructure is not there. And I think I'll make a radical suggestion. The government should get out of the business of running medical colleges and running hospitals.
And privatize primary health care. I'd like to see which corporate goes there.
And everything will get fixed. I mean, the same reason why Airtel is there and why ITC is there.
80% of Indians spend cash. So it's already private. It's just structurally we have bricks and mortars of PHCs. But 80% of our healthcare is private cash. That's the reality.
And the number of seats will triple. Number of the seats, market will take care of it.
So you're saying let the government get out. Let the state get out. Of the process of even primary health care. Rahul, that amuses you because?
Aap PHC gayo kabhi?
Primary
I really center. Cannot see a private guy taking that up at that cost. They would make no money. You are saying 80% go to private. Main manta hu.
Kyunki PHC mein koi hai nahi. PHC mein doctor hi nahi hai.
Wo keh raha hu.
Wo quack ko jaake 200 rupaye dekh ke.
Kyunki PHC mein koi nahi hai.
Once again, Dr. Shetty, we can get back in the screen. If I can get your response to this. A radical proposal here. Just privatize even primary healthcare center. Others saying commit yourself to spending some time doing something beyond your day job. Dr. Shetty.
Barka, first of all, doctors are no different than other professionals. Ultimately, let's face the fact, you may find a few doctors here and there who are willing to work in the village. But if you want real transformation of healthcare in villages, we need doctors to go there voluntarily, provide, and they will go there if they can make money, or if there are too many doctors in the city. You produce large number of doctors, cities will get saturated, the doctors will go to the worst possible place to work. Because otherwise they can't make their living.
Thanks for that, Dr. Shetty. We're coming back to exactly where we started. There is a shortage of doctors. That was Ghulam Nabi Azad's proposal to somehow retain some doctors for a longer time. Now, I have here somebody who's actually signed this bond. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that this bond kind of existed even before this announcement, but nobody quite knows what this bond is about. So what's your story?
So basically, this bond exists for a very particular visa, and that's only for the United States.
And are you okay with signing this bond?
I'm okay with this bond because I have no option. If I chose to come back, that'd be okay. And I will choose to come back, but where do I come back to? Let's say in 7 years I become some hotshot interventional cardiologist. Will they have a place for me in India to come back to work?
Yeah. What did your bond say?
So currently my bond says that I'll accept any conditions they impose on us in 7 years.
Yeah.
So that is draconian. That is draconian because it's like saying, you know what, you're our slave. You know, do what you want, but come back to us. Which is fair if I had my own option to it, but we don't.
Okay, is this a problem, Ashok?
This is ridiculous. If he'd gone to England, he wouldn't have had to sign this bond. Only doctors going to one country under one visa sign this bond. Nobody else does. I mean, how is this workable?
It's a distraction from the main
problem. Okay, Dr. Bakshi.
It's a distraction from the main problem. You're still talking about the 2% problem.
Yeah.
We are all crying horse for more doctors, more training facilities. Students want to learn. We want to employ. patients want to use. So, I mean, this is a distraction.
Okay, so
it
what we're
matter.
Hearing again and again is the division between those who say it should be my right to decide how I want to pay back and the argument that's being made by others saying that it doesn't quite work like that. You've got to drum it into people. You've got to force people to do it. We spoke earlier to Dr. Binayak Sen, and I started by asking Dr. Binayak Sen for his response to this proposal to enforce, in a sense, these medical bonds and paying back.
We cannot take these proposals in a fragmented way and give our opinion on them in a fragmented way. The whole health system is a single unified system, and it depends on the shape and the nature of the health system and the way in which it is operates and is made to operate. So without that, it is not possible to just say, should doctors sign a bond, should they not sign a bond. So it's not possible to be categorical in one dimension. We have to take the entire system as a whole.
There is also an argument, and it's being made repeatedly by people here, that the state subsidy then becomes a problem. How do you react to the argument around subsidies, Dr. Binayak Sen?
Certainly the training of doctors and all categories of health personnel, not just doctors, nurses, paramedical workers, pharmacists, involves large subsidies. Those subsidies are generally provided from state sources. Now the question is, where are those subsidies being, to what end are those subsidies directed? That is the point. Now if we have a system of universal health care, which is what the high level expert group had recommended, then those subsidies are devoted to the good of society. If, on the other hand, you have a set of recommendations in which the private sector plays a major role, then those subsidies are directed towards the generation of profit for the corporate sector or for the private sector.
So you're actually saying that you have to look beyond the subsidies on training and actually look at other invisible subsidies that many of private hospitals do enjoy. One last question. Where do you stand on this issue of brain drain, Dr. Binayak Sen? Are you concerned about how many doctors we're losing to brain drain, or do you believe that to each his own and we cannot be morally judgmental about people's individual choices?
It is a matter of great concern, but at the same time, as you say, it is not something that we can be morally judgmental about. Both are true at the same time. The system as such in India does not take the health care needs of the vast majority of people into account. If we go the corporate route and say that the private sector, which is what is happening today, that 80% of the healthcare needs of the people, to the extent that they are met out of private resources. And so poor people simply have no chance to get the healthcare that they need. So in such a situation, there is the subsidies that are provided for the training of health manpower are basically subsidizing the private sector. But the private sector gets a lot of subsidies. The training is one of the biggest subsidies, but they also get subsidies on land, they get subsidies on finance, they get subsidies on all kinds of things to enable them to function in society and generate profit.
Thank you, Dr. Binayak Sen. So there we are having a completely different perspective, which has taken the focus away from just training and the cost of education to an argument that often comes from the left of center, which is saying that the private sector, in any case, is getting all these invisible subsidies, and that's where the structure of healthcare is the problem.
No, I think he was talking about subsidies for the private sector as a whole, not just private sector.
Yes.
And that goes back to my original argument that we have to have subsidies in a society like ours, in some form or the other, but we have to have more targeted subsidies. And the other thing, last thing I'd like to say is, higher education, especially medical education, is one of the last bastions of the shortage economy in our country. We have to fix that. When there are enough doctors, and if they're not going to the villages, then we have a problem. Right now, we don't have enough doctors.
Colonel Verma, just from your experience in AFMC, would you accept Ashutosh's problem that the problem is the state?
Well, I graduated from AFMC way back in 90. The conditions say that you sign the bond, and I signed it, and therefore I am in the organization. If a subsidy is there, provider can claim it back. Now, there are other questions that have been raised by other panelists.
But didn't AFMC, correct me if I'm wrong, have a rule that to graduate, you either have to spend some time in the army or pay a certain fee?
That's part of the bond. And that bond is 15 lakh rupees or 7 years of service. Yeah.
Rahul Ram, what if that was the bond you were made to sign to join the IIT?
I would have been so bored.
No, but
ganda sa engineer type banda hota main yaar.
Ganda sa wo bechara Arpit. Arpit wants to be an engineer.
Nahi, suit pehen ke jhoot bol raha hota
kisi. Wo suit nahi, lal t-shirt pehen ke aaya.
Kabhi to hota na aage jaake.
No, but seriously. Is this a conflict philosophically between individual liberty and somebody deciding for you? And what Colonel Verma is saying is that, listen, I had to graduate from there.
He had a choice. He could have said, okay, I don't want to join.
All right, let's take a question here.
This is a problem of capacity, capability, and subsidy that we're talking of. If you look at the Medical Council of India, they recently announced that they might de-recognize about 6 medical colleges. I think that is 750 seats we are going to lose. And the reason is shortage of staff.
But we're going round and round in circles on this, Chetan. Yeah.
The reality is, it's a very poor country. Let's just face that reality. Okay, it's 1.2 billion people. You want good healthcare? Become a rich country. Elect a government that.
How do you become a rich country?
Now, if I'd rather, well, the government has to function and make policies to make us a rich country, and we all have to accept that we want to be rich rather than subsidize this and subsidize that.
Okay, Chetan, you studied outside India. You worked outside India, rather. Why did you come back?
Because my wife got a transfer. See, what's so funny, man? Women do it all the time.
No,
so
but this is my point with Ashutosh's survey. That it's to say that, you know, now everybody's coming back. Nobody's coming back because of service to the nation.
No, I came back because I felt I can make a bigger difference if I'm here. I really felt that. And, you know, I'd rather the health minister says we have this 1 million shortage of doctors. Yeah. We need some, you know, 1 lakh crore or 2 lakh crore, whatever the number is. And here's how I plan to raise it. If you open a college, I'll allow you to sell residential apartments around it. But figure out a way to do it.
So throw more money in it. I'll throw more money in it is what we're hearing here. Yeah. Let me just get a question.
Given government's pathetic record at targeting subsidies, I don't think we should talk about that. Maybe there's another thing which is aspirational value of role models. I come from a small town and I can tell you that having one Jairam Ramesh or Nandan Nilekani is good enough a return for the whole batch of investment.
You're from IIT, right?
Yeah, IIT Bombay.
And what do you do now?
I work in development sector, rural development kind of.
Okay, so you're making an interesting point that it's not about throwing more money at the problem. It's about creating alumni in a sense that people can identify with. They think this could be exciting. It could be exciting to be this. It could be exciting to be in policy. It could be, you know, and that sounds like an interesting idea. You had a question.
I actually wanted to throw an idea onto the floor that how can we be assured of the quality of work that is coming after this sort of compulsion or obligation above our head? Because, you know, in the Delhi University, we have something called the National Service Scheme, and we are supposed to fulfill this particular number of hours.
Yes.
And otherwise, if we don't do that, we won't get our graduating certificate. So my feeling or my emotion while I'm working with the kids or while I'm into social work is, I think, will be much more different if I'm doing it out of my personal choice.
You have to take that. That you really want a reluctant doctor, a reluctant caregiver out there.
We have a great talent as a nation for ritualizing and hollowing out everything.
Yeah.
So if you remember socially useful productive work, yes. SUPW.
Yeah, SUPW. NSS,
you know, so we make a joke out of everything. But I think, you know, the idea is basically a good one, and it's a matter of seeing how you can make it work.
It's just ideas. They will not work. At some point, guys, we have to get real and do
it. So what's your prescription? What's your prescription?
Even this idea of like, we are rich people, we should go down there and help those poor people. There is something patronizing even in that.
So what would you do?
Right?
What
you have to tell the health minister to generate the money for this. Without the money, it's not going to happen.
Tax you? Tax you more?
I don't know.
That's how we're earning money, right?
No, there are many ways to earn money. Divest companies, sell Air India.
Which is not even being spent.
Ashok, repeat that.
There is a high education tax which is not even being spent.
Yeah. Like I said, Maharashtra has 34 crores in fees from people who don't do their social service. Where's that money going? Let's take a question here.
It's not just US that we are losing doctors to. We are also losing doctors. Doctors these days are going for MBA, IAS. So how do we stop that? Because
where are you studying?
I'm in Murad Medical College.
And where do you want to go after BAMC?
MBA.
I was planning to go for USMLE, but now after this,
sign the bond. Yeah. All right, you had something.
You're talking about the doctors not going to the rural India. What are the facilities there? What is a doctor going to do there? Just write prescriptions and get the generic medicine. I had been into the rural practice for 2 years. I had to leave because there were no gloves to work with.
That's an important question. I have to start taking last comments. Dr. Kataria, let's start with you. Can you just push people into the interiors without the infrastructural backups to make those interventions meaningful? I think that's the question here.
we cannot do that. And I think it's very important that the infrastructure and the manpower for all for providing healthcare and in the rural areas is, and it's done by the government. In an inequitable society, it's not possible for the private sector to enter for profit in such an area.
So you don't agree with Ashutosh?
I definitely do not agree. And in fact, the figures which have been mentioned here of 6 lakh doctors being short, they conceal a lot more than they reveal. If you disaggregate, what is the shortage in rural areas?
Yeah.
It would be far more than what is there in and in fact, the urban may be surplus. It may be a surplus in the urban.
So there's a genuine crisis, and the state cannot get out of it. Ashutosh, what's your prescription?
I'll give you an
idea. Quickly, last thought. Yeah.
Okay. I think there are enough entrepreneurs, there is enough money that is willing to set up enough medical colleges and hospitals in this country, but they have to deal with very corrupt government infrastructure to deal with it.
Yeah.
So only people who are opening medical colleges right now are politicians or small businesses, halwais, etc., who have no business opening medical colleges.
I know which one you're talking
about. If you
they
allow
TV channels too, if that makes you feel better. But
if you allow decent people the opportunity, I think there are enough people to open enough medical colleges and produce enough
so
doctors.
You're still talking about throwing more private money at the venture. Dr. Kataria is disagreeing completely. Let's take a couple of last audience questions.
We should get real. And also that charging more taxes doesn't solve the problem, and subsidies is not an investment by the government. So
you're saying let everybody make their own choices in a sense. Stand up and have your question.
The problem is every science student aspires for appreciation rather than just money. I'm a medical student, if I'm not appreciated for my talent in India, I will go outside.
So this still remains that thing that we're not an environment, Meenakshi, that provides, you know, top level R&R. I mean, it's tough. There is no incentives. And I think that's what, there may be some merit to the private sector argument that you can't expect people now to somehow be poor or materially uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. I think the problem has to be, we're still at the, you know, we haven't addressed the logical conclusion to the problem that you framed right at the outset, which was shortage of trained manpower. Dr. Devi Shetty has suggested correctly that, look, change your laws and allow entrepreneurs to set up medical colleges. That's one thing. Second, I think this whole problem, with 70 to 73% of the health worker trained manpower is across the private sector, we need to insource them into the public health
system. So what I'm hearing here is don't treat the private sector as a dirty word.
No,
I mean, but there isn't consensus even here on the entry of private sector money into something like healthcare. Your question.
As a medical student, I think I have a better judge of the problem, that is the shortage of doctors. The quick term solution is increase the number of seats that we have at the PG level. As Dr. Shetty said, we have enough UG seats. So most of the people are unemployed after MBBS. So what they have no option than to go out.
Alok, last comments.
Look, there are two problems. One is that there are not enough doctors. Two, that there are too many people in this country who are too poor to afford doctors.
Yeah.
All right? And someone has got to convince me that corporate generosity somehow is going to reach medical care to people who are too poor to buy it.
So it's Ashok,
look,
last
I
talk,
think
yeah.
we are confusing private sector coming into health care, which can come in only to a certain degree and not entirely.
Just one second.
To private sector setting up medical colleges.
That's it, yeah.
That
that's
is very
that's
different.
Completely.
I think that's for a start, let's talk about immediate solutions.
So it's not about handing over healthcare
to
the private sector.
It's about private sector setting up more
in.
Medical colleges. Yeah. We need a dozen medical colleges a day.
I think that's something
doesn't matter.
That's something we can agree with. I've got a father-son sitting here. The son's a medical student. The father's a...
I'm a builder.
You're a builder?
Yes.
Wow. You don't own a medical college?
No.
Are you giving back?
Are you giving back, sir?
Of course I am.
Good.
And my son will also give back to this country.
But how do you want to give back? And do you want to study here or go abroad?
No, I'll be studying here. But you see, when I work for 36 straight hours, I expect more than a 40,000 salary check. So unless there are more ex-McKinsey's opening up more Max's here, the doctors are not going to stay. You know the life of a doctor. He has expectations. The society is not fulfilling our expectations. That is why we are going abroad.
Okay, Rahul Ram, what do you say to that?
जाओ ना कौन रोक रहा है यार?
गुलाम नबी आजाद रोक रहे हैं।
नहीं नहीं बिल्कुल नहीं रोक रहा।
No.
वहाँ जाके पैसे बनाएगा
वापस दे देगा। No. People do want some material comfort in their life.
They should.
People set their own standards for what that material comfort is. You can't have an absolute definition, but they don't want to live in penury in the name of social service or duty to nation.
You know, a lot of issues are getting confused here.
Yeah.
एक तो कि डॉक्टर कम है, हाँ डॉक्टर कम है, डॉक्टर कॉलेज बनाओ, वो अलग बात है. ये कि तुम डॉक्टर को बोलोगे कि तू जाके गांव में काम कर और वहां तेरे को कुछ भी नहीं मिलेगा तो गरीब की तरह रहेगा, आई डोंट थिंक दैट्स प्रैक्टिकल. सो यू हैव टू इम्प्रूव योर पीएचसी सिस्टम इन सम वे. Is useless. Otherwise, it'll
we
never.
We don't have the money. We are trying to get someone to pay for it. We are trying to get some. We are somehow trying to make it work.
Okay.
Whereas it's just difficult.
We're totally out of time. This has to be the last audience question. Yes.
We should not be hung up on brain drain. We should be talking about brain circulation. When NRIs come back to India, they enrich not only with their knowledge, with their wealth also, and then they get saturated. They go back and then come back again.
But here's what surprises me. What I haven't heard anybody say, and I don't know what this tells, is that nobody said that IITs, IIMs, or medical doctors are brand ambassadors for India. That used to be the old way of measuring value. Ashok, is that passé now?
No, it's not passé. I mean, I think the Indian white collar professional and the Indian private sector is a brand ambassador for India, much more than we want to recognize. But people do come and go out of a sense of, you know, where there's opportunity. If people come back to India, they'll come back if they see good opportunity. They're not going to come back for love with this country.
But Barkha, like, I'll give you an example. I was in Goldman Sachs many years ago before I started writing, and Goldman Sachs never hired from India, right? They never had a person from an Indian education. And they found out about the IIMs through me and a couple of other people. We made a pitch that maybe you should come to India. They started coming to India. I was there first time when they came to IIM Ahmedabad. And we hired people.
So
and
you're saying it's still all about
it's
opportunity.
Still, if I had not gone there, that wouldn't have happened.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, now, and after that, many other banks and many other people have come. So I'm saying people out there are contributing. There is that brand ambassador argument for sure. You can't say it because then you're like, you're just making excuses to live in New York. So, you know, it's just...
Needs an excuse to live in New York. Alok Rai, last word to you.
I don't want to live there.
You don't want to live in New York. You want to live in Mumbai instead. Alok Rai, last word to you. Are we wearing blinkers when we make it about a code? Because everybody's morality is deeply personal, isn't it?
No, I agree. I don't think it's a kind of... It's a moral issue. I think it's a matter of identifying the problem. And the problem is not how will doctors feel suitably rewarded for all the work that they put in, but how on earth we can produce a healthcare system which can deliver health to the people who need it but can't afford it.
Well,
that is the problem.
Well, actually, the root, of this problem and its solution lies in collapsing more barriers between the haves and the have-nots. That's what it actually all comes down to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this debate won't even exist to begin with. We'll have to leave it there. We've heard some suggestions. Allow more private money to come in, but it's still the state's job. Got to have more medical colleges. And in the end, tough to regulate what defines duty. But one thing's for sure, we've got to accept that probably none of us are doing enough. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.